You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm joined by Dato' Noharuddin Nordin, the CEO of the Malaysian Investment Development Authority, or better known as MIDA. Dato', good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about MIDA. It recently changed its name from the Malaysian Industrial Development Authority to the Malaysian Investment Development Authority, and that was sometime in July last year. I understand now it's no longer just looking at the manufacturing sector, but also services as well. Explain a little bit of MIDA's role to us.
Well, as an investment promotion agency, our basic role is to generate investment in Malaysia. Investment irrespective of whether it's foreign or domestic investment. We are undergoing a process of rebranding ourselves by virtue of several factors. You mentioned earlier that the responsibility of MIDA has been expanded. The scope of responsibility now, when MIDA was initially established, it was only for promoting investment in the manufacturing sector. But now we are also responsible for promoting investment in the services sector, with the exception of the financial sector. And on top of that, we are also using this branding exercise to correct this misconception that MIDA is only about foreign direct investment. Actually, we are responsible for total investment, including promoting domestic investments. And another responsibility that is given to us is that in the course of us trying to transform the economy, the Malaysian government established quite a number of entities with special functions. We have the corridors, we have special entities dedicated to specific sectors, for example. So MIDA's role now includes coordinating investment-related activities of all these agencies as well.
That leads me to my next question, Dato', because I'm wondering, what's the difference between MIDA and InvestKL, for instance, and all the economic corridors that we've got, and NCER, ECER, and Iskandar, and SCORES? There's so many.
Yes.
So why? What's the difference? Is there overlap?
No, there is a lot of synergy between us and them. MIDA is responsible for promoting investment into Malaysia. Whereas those entities, they have special responsibilities. And their role is not just promoting investment. They also have developmental function as well. For example, we take the most well-covered corridor at the moment,
Iskandar,
for example. So IRDA, the authority for Iskandar, is responsible for developing the Iskandar region, not just promoting investments. But in the course of developing, it also entails promoting investment. So they are not really fully dedicated investment promotion agency. They are also responsible for creating jobs, improving the socioeconomic well-being of the people in Iskandar, for example. So because they also, in the course of fulfilling the responsibilities, they also have to bring investment. They work with us. So that's how we work with all these entities. For example, you take Biotech Corp, for example. They are responsible for promoting and developing the biotech industry in Malaysia, which is not just investment, which also involves developing domestic capabilities in the infrastructure for sustaining sophisticated biotech industry, for example. So they do that. They have a bigger responsibility, but among the many responsibilities that they have includes bringing in investors to support the development. So that's where we work with Biotech Corp.
So you work with these economic corridors, for instance,
right.
So complementary.
Yes.
It just seems to me that there is still some overlap, because aren't you doing the same thing in terms of pulling in investment to these different regions?
As I said, they are not doing investment promotion all the time, 100% of the time.
But part of their mandate is to do that.
Part of their mandate. So we are, in the case of MIDA, we are purely doing investment promotion. All our activities are directed towards bringing investment into Malaysia, irrespective of which sector or which part of the country. So when we bring in this investment, and then we will introduce them to the relevant authorities, which will further lend support to the potential investors.
Okay. What about the numbers that you report in terms of how much investment Malaysia has garnered? Are they the same headlines that we see?
Exactly the same.
So it's exactly the same.
Right. So we will the investments that are reported by MIDA will incorporate
investments, all the projects.
Yeah, all projects in every part of the country, in every sector in the country.
Okay, and explain your role specifically in terms of MIDA. Where does MIDA come in? How much hand holding do you give investors, potential investors who want to come in?
We provide end-to-end support to investors. For information, we have 24 offices around the world. Among the functions of these offices are to identify potential investors and to entice them to look at Malaysia and convince them to come over to Malaysia. Sometimes convincing is easier when they come to Malaysia and see for themselves what we have in the country. So, and then following that, then we will introduce them to the proper processes to get into Malaysia. We'll assist them, hand-holding them, as you mentioned. And once they decide to invest in Malaysia, again, MIDA will be there to assist them to go through the other processes to get the their investment operationalized. For example, they have to deal with local authorities, they have to get utilities, for example. So we'll be there to assist them. And even after they are in operation, we still offer services to them. In case that they face any challenges in the course of doing business in Malaysia.
Datuk Noharuddin Nordin, the CEO of MIDA, is on the Breakfast Grill with me today. We'll touch a little bit more, Datuk, on the processes that you mentioned a little bit later, but can you give us an update in terms of the report card? So the government has said it aims to attract 1.4 trillion ringgit worth of investments by 2020. We're starting a fresh new year. Can you give us an update on the report card for 2012 or so
well,
far?
So far, we are doing relatively well. The 1.4 trillion that you mentioned is spread over a number of years building up to 2020. For example, for the year 2012, the target in private investment is 127.9 billion ringgit. And for the first 9 months of this year, private investment is already 73% of that target. So we're doing quite well in that sense. And last year, the total private investment measured in terms of gross fixed capital formation totaled 93 billion ringgit.
Okay. Well, you said also MIDA doesn't just look at manufacturing anymore. It also incorporates the services sector.
Right.
What's the breakdown in terms of how much comes from manufacturing, how much comes from services?
In fact, in the case of Malaysia, the bulk of the investments are actually approved. I'm talking now in terms of the context of approved private investment.
So there's approved investment and actual investment.
Actual investment. Actual investment is those calculated, as I said, from gross fixed capital formation, the actual flow of money.
Correct.
Whereas approved investments are investments that have been given licenses or given other kinds of approval for them to operate in the country. In terms of approved investment, I do have the breakdown. Mm-hmm. The bulk of the approved investment actually in the services sector actually. If I take 2011 figures, for example, 70 billion out of the 154.6 billion approval, 70 billion is in the services sector, 56 billion in the manufacturing sector, and 28 billion in the primary sector. And similar proportion also is for the first 6 months of this year.
And just quickly, how many are new projects versus existing companies diversifying or expanding their operations here?
Actually, it's quite balanced actually between new and existing companies either expanding or diversifying their operations. MIDA strategy is just not bringing new investors. We also want existing investors to also evolve in the country, and we are seeing this happening. For example, you take the case of some of the huge multinationals operating in Malaysia, for example, the electronics companies, for example. During the early days of their presence in Malaysia, they were just merely doing manufacturing and assembly. But now they are doing more higher value-added activities, for example, doing design and testing activities. So that's what we are doing. And that entails new investment from those companies. And many of them are also setting up their regional or global operations in Malaysia as well, taking advantage of the infrastructure that they have developed over the years.
I'm speaking to Datuk Noharuddin Nordin, the CEO of MIDA, the Malaysian Investment Development Authority, on MIDA's efforts on highlighting Malaysia as a premier investment destination. After this, more on how MIDA plans to bring in new investment from overseas, as well as increasing the volume of domestic investment at the same time.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today I'm joined live in the studio by Datuk Noharuddin Nordin, the CEO of MIDA, the Malaysian Investment Development Authority. Datuk, last we left it, we were talking about the domestic and foreign investments. Can you, before we move into domestic, talk a little bit about which countries you're seeing the most promising investment flows from?
The way we are approaching promoting investment at the moment, we are adopting what we call an ecosystem approach, whereby for sectors that we are promoting, we identify the gaps in the value chain within that sector. When we look at the ecosystem, it just that we don't just look at the business activity itself. We also look at the policy framework as well. In case the policy framework is not conducive for the development of that industry, then we will advise the government to make the necessary changes. And in terms of bringing investment, we look at the value chain. Where is the gap along the value chain? As far as possible, we try to fill up the gap through supporting local companies. But in the event that local companies is not able to fill up the gap, then we will bring in investors. And where do the investors come from? It depends where we can source that kind of technology that can fill up that gap. We don't really, at the moment, we don't really go, for example, I decide to bring investment from US. If, for example, an African country has that technology to fill up that gap, then that will be our target.
Okay, so there's no limiting geographical area.
No, we don't, yeah.
Okay, well, talk a little bit about this ecosystem that you mentioned. Give us an example. Which ecosystems have you identified and what kind of gaps have you advised the government to sort of relook at their policies?
Okay, in terms of ecosystem, we like to identify sectors that can help to rebrand Malaysia. As you know, branding is not just, you know, going around spending money on media, advertisement and all
right.
that. It's about the essence of the country. So what we do is we try to promote or develop certain industries that can change the perception on Malaysia as just a place to manufacture assembled products. For example, one good example is the aerospace industry. We have quite a number of players in the aerospace industry. Most of them doing MRO. But we like to do many of the other manufacturing activities and service providers to also be in Malaysia. So that's one sector that one ecosystem that we like to develop. So we are now talking to various players in different parts of the world, and there are some degree of success already. We are now seeing companies from France, for example, a country that is not our traditional source of investment, now investing in the aerospace industry in Malaysia.
Okay, so why were these sectors picked? I mean, do you see Malaysia having a competitive advantage over other ASEAN countries, perhaps?
Certainly we do. There are different bases for us to select sectors for us to promote. First, of course, we have the NKEA. I think you are familiar with the NKEA.
Yep.
So those sectors under NKEA are sectors that we will promote. On top of them are the non-NKE areas. For example, I give you the example of aerospace that we chose, which can help rebrand Malaysia. You see, if Malaysia can host an ecosystem for aerospace industry, it says a lot about this country. It says that we can host other kind of sophisticated and high-tech industries as well. So that's the reason why we focus on some of these sectors.
So MIDA is now looking at generating this high-tech quality investments, as I've heard you put it before, in sort of new and emerging technologies.
Yeah, but I want to qualify that.
Okay.
We also have to recognize that different parts of the countries are at different level of development. So the kind of investment that they need may be different.
What do you mean by that, different levels of development?
For example, recently we brought an investor to Sabah in the aquaculture sector. That will not be relevant for states like Selangor, Penang, for example. For Sabah, it's great. But again, the emphasis is we bring aquaculture, but it must be a technology-intensive process. So the word technology, irrespective whether it's in agriculture, in plantation, or in manufacturing, or in services, technology must be the basis of that investment.
Okay, but if we're going to move into this high-tech investments, of course there's going to be an expanding demand for technically trained workers.
Exactly.
Do we have that talent pool?
We do. Okay. People always say that Malaysia lacks talent. Actually, and also, you know, people say that, you know, do we have the same question that you asked me just now.
Where is this talent coming from, Datuk?
The talent are locals.
Technically trained talent.
Technically trained talent. See, what MIDA is doing now, we have created a special unit to work with other entities that are dedicated towards human resource development. We don't conduct programs ourselves. We want to leverage of other entities, including what Talent Corp is doing, to deliver the talent needed by these investors. And see, what we need to do is not just raise the salary, but create an environment of excitement for that, so that our young talents who are working in Singapore, working in the Middle East, working in China, for example, will be enticed to come back to Malaysia. See, sometimes it's not just the money that drives them. Sometimes it's excitement to be at the frontier of technology, for example.
So, and with this high-skilled, high-income jobs that, you know, does that really attract Malaysian talent back that's overseas back to Malaysia? Do you have figures? Can you substantiate your claim?
No, we are working. It's work in progress.
Working with Talent Corp, I understand.
Yeah, working with Talent Corp, of course. But it's not going to be easy. You know, we are, creating an environment of excitement. See, as exciting as the Silicon Valley, for example, it's not going to be easy. But that's relative to the Asian region. If we can provide something more exciting, that's what's available within the region, that will be a good attraction for our talents, either to come back or to remain in the country.
Dato' Noharudin Nordin, the CEO of MIDA, is with me on The Breakfast Grill today. Dato', you gave an example of the project in Sabah, which is not probably appropriate for Selangor or for Penang, for instance. Now, can you give me an example of what kind of criteria goes through MIDA's process in terms of rejecting an investment application? What do you look for in the vetting process?
Well, at the end of the day, it's about what's the net benefit for the country and whether we can host and provide all the factors, competitive factors, to that particular investment. There are a lot of investors that are interested to come to Malaysia. Sometimes we turn them down, especially those labor-intensive investments, because we just can't accommodate those investments anymore. So we tell them honestly upfront that it's better for you to go somewhere else, not Malaysia.
What about companies where their activities can have an impact on communities or the environment, for instance, with Linus?
Because we have entities, for example, AELB, we have the DOE. These are agencies whose responsibility is to make sure that the well-being of the people are protected. And I trust my colleagues in those agencies are doing their job.
But does MIDA include these criteria in their evaluation process?
In fact, all investment approvals are subject to approvals from the relevant agencies.
Tell me about this, the approval process. How efficient is the turnover? How quick is an approval?
Okay, in order to enhance the process, MIDA established what we call the National Committee on Investments, which we deem it to be enable us to approve investment in real time, which means that this National Committee Investment is made up of representatives from all the agencies responsible for giving incentive, for example, the Ministry of Finance, EPU, Economic Planning Unit, METI, Inland Revenue Board, Bank Negara, for example, all of them are in committee. So we can decide on the spot whether to approve or not approve a particular investment. And that decision will be conveyed immediately after the meeting. So there is no process of sending an application to another agency and waiting to come back. All of us are in the same room and deciding on the case together.
Okay, so MIDA is empowered to make decisions on the spot. Is that dangerous, though, in terms of being autonomous? You know, there's not that many levels of approval. How do you make sure that, you know, your offices are not on the take?
As I mentioned, it's not a decision made by MIDA. It's a decision made by the National Committee of Investment.
So different members from different boards
sit
in this committee.
Yes, exactly. They are there. But in order to expedite the process, we sit down together. And MIDA is the secretariat. It's not MIDA that decides.
Okay, Dato', now you mentioned earlier that MIDA's objective is to promote not just domestic but also global awareness of investment opportunities in Malaysia. How are you going to be stepping up your efforts in 2013 to put Malaysia on the investment hot list?
First of all, what we need to do is to break this stereotyping of Malaysia as one of the many Asian countries where investors can come to look for cheap labour, a cheap place to manufacture and assemble. Malaysia has been successful since the 70s on bringing investments of that kind of nature. And we are so successful that investors from other countries still think that Malaysia is still like that, a place to where you go for low-cost production, which we are not anymore. So we have to break away from that image, which is not going to be easy, because for information, while we are quite well educated about what's happening around the world, let me tell you, many Americans don't even know the difference between Asia and China. For them, China is Asia and Asia is China. So when you mention countries like Malaysia and all this, we are just being grouped together with other countries. So we need to work hard to differentiate ourselves from the others.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you must meet a lot of people in your line of work trying to get them to invest in Malaysia. What issues have they brought up to you? What's keeping them from coming to invest here?
I think there is no lack of interest to invest in Malaysia.
So what's stopping some of them coming, perhaps?
They are not stopping. As I gave you, the figures are good. But, you see, for example, there are investors that are going to our neighbouring countries. For example, they go to those countries, for example, for extraction investment, which means they go to get hold of the natural resources, the minerals and all that. They go to our neighboring countries because of availability of huge land to be developed, pieces of land, and they go to our neighboring countries for cheap labor, that's abundant cheap labor that's available. Those kind of investments will not come to Malaysia. It will be an issue for them to come to Malaysia, because for us to host them, it means that we'll have to bring in foreign labors to cater for their needs. So we have to, those kind of investment will not come to Malaysia. But for investment that's looking for a sophisticated infrastructure, both soft and hard infrastructure, investment looking for protection of intellectual property, those are the kind of investment that are interested to come to Malaysia.
Okay, well, those are all the foreign investments, but the government's aim is also for direct domestic investment to account for about 70% of the investment in the economy by 2020. So to reach that goal, there's a 1 billion ringgit fund that was established to woo investors. Why was such a fund necessary? Are local investors not as keen as foreign investors?
I mentioned to you earlier, one of the misconceptions about MIDA is that it's only catering for the interest of foreign investors. Domestic investors are being neglected. That's the misconception. But it's not. But you must remember, incentives are introduced for a certain purpose. This is investment promotion incentive, to promote incentive in certain sector that can help Malaysia transform its economic structure from a low-end to a high-end economy. So most of the incentives are to attract incentives that have high technology content, that high innovation content. And there's very stringent criteria imposed on this incentive. By virtue of that, many domestic companies are not able to fulfill those criteria. And because of that, it seems as though foreign investors are getting most of the benefits and not domestic investors. But actually, the incentive do not discriminate between foreign and local. But in order to overcome that, what the government had done was in July announced that the 1 billion fund that you mentioned, which is dedicated to domestic investors.
So it's called the Domestic Investment Strategic
right.
Fund. But, you know, what baffles me a little bit is that this under the ETP, the key thrust is all the initiatives should be driven by private money, the private sector.
Right.
So why is the government giving out a grant or fund to drive these projects?
Okay. The name of the fund is Domestic Investment Strategic Fund. In other words, the incentive can be enjoyed by companies contingent upon them investing. In other words, the private company have to invest first before they can enjoy. This fund is different from the startup fund, for example, the upfront money that is given to companies. Companies that do not invest cannot enjoy this incentive. See, they do. And also the incentive is for the specific purpose of upgrading the technology, training the workers, all towards enabling them to be part of the global supply chain. So if they don't invest, they don't get. So that's the difference.
I've been speaking to Dato' Noha Rudin Nordin, the CEO of MIDA, the Malaysian Investment Development Agency. Dato', Happy New Year to you, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.